Live from Stadium Swim at Circa, it's Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas and ESPN Sports Reno.
Welcome in, Reno. Adam Hilstein, Cofield, Circa Las Vegas. Say hi, everyone up there in the Sparks area at Legends Bay. So, Adam, that the Seinfeld thing with the latest one, I think he has a target on his back, so I think he says anything that people can go after him for. So his comments about wishing for, you know, masculinity, does not resonate with you.
No. I mean, no. The masculinity thing is just so disturbing to me, I think, on a lot of levels from a lot of people.
Is your dad masculine?
No.
Why do you say that?
No.
Or you don't even want to, like,
if he was, I probably wouldn't talk to him, honestly.
So you associate it with a lot of bad things?
Yeah, definitely.
So masculinity to you is just another way to say
ignorance,
male toxicity?
Yeah, for sure.
In some ways, I agree. In some ways, I agree. Not all. But, you know, I've been thinking a lot about how we speak to coworkers, how we address each other.
Why are you thinking of those things?
Maybe not on the air. Well, because this is happening in a lot of workplaces now. And, you know, like the other day we had a workplace violence seminar for like 90 minutes, and there's some really important stuff in there. We had training last year for workplace sensitivity and harassment. And I don't know, it hit me when I saw this masculine thing. Like, can you tell another coworker, like, bro, you're looking a little bit soft. Like, this could be something that you joke about, and a male coworker would be like, that really hurt my feelings.
Looking soft? What is that? In what way?
Or you're acting soft.
Yeah.
You're not being masculine. But then another one hit
me. You can say soft and not masculine. Like, you can replace
it could
that.
Be, it could be mushy and out of shape.
Okay. No, I'm saying you can say you're being soft. Like, hey, toughen up. You don't have to say you're not being masculine.
I don't know if you can tell people to toughen up.
I think you can.
Another one. I joke about this, but now that I think about it, I'm like, I don't know if the opposite sex should be able to come in the studio and say this. What happens to our studio when we're at Lotus sometimes?
Well, it gets very hot.
Yes, it gets very hot. And the morning show likes it real hot. They're thin guys. I guess they get cold. A lot of big fellows in the afternoon. We yell a lot. There's a lot of energy. We exude some heat. We added another big fella in there, and Griffin. We have big fella guests. It gets a bit rank. It can get it. It just there's a musk, as Ron Burgundy said. Is a female coworker allowed to come in and go? Smells like a locker room in here.
There's female locker rooms too.
Smells like a male locker room in here.
No, that's an actual place.
Monty Bolaños on Fox Sports Radio National did that earlier. I was listening, and I'm like, I don't know if that's allowed anymore.
Look at this. That's a place. It's a literal place.
What does it smell like?
I think you have a sense in your mind of what it smells like. You've been in one before.
Ryan Hollins explained. High school locker room, college locker room, NBA locker room all smell a little bit different. The NBA locker room doesn't smell.
Well,
said they do a pretty good job. No, because they had a whole conversation on that. People who douse themselves in cologne to cover up BO. Are we allowed in the workplace to tell each other that we smell? Hey, I don't like it right now. I'm just thinking.
Yeah, I think you is different than the studio.
The studio smells like men. Ugh. What does that mean?
It's your interpretation. But that a studio is not a person.
New standards.
But a studio is not a person. I don't know.
I mean, if you smell like
a studio,
if you smell like Dave Koken, that's a great thing. Dave was always fragrant when he wore his V-neck sweaters with no shirts, and his what was that? Was that canoe? What was he wearing? I can't remember.
I don't know.
A strong 80 scent.
Like a what is the famous one? It was like a famous one.
Well, there was Old Spice.
No, not that.
I mean, for me, Dave feels like he was a Paco Rabanne guy.
Okay. I can't remember the name of it. There's like a fragrance that's like famously like 80s, 90s.
All right. I'm just warning everyone, be careful when you comment on smelliness or appearance. It's a dangerous game. Or masculinity.
Definitely different things.
Big 4-4.
Battleborn Injury Lawyers presents the Big 4-4. Number 4.
So Adam Hill has a weird stance on
a lot of things.
Price gouging on smells in the studio, being told that it smells. On price gouging. A lot of us out there feel like we're getting kind of whacked over the head with the excuse of inflation and mandatory salary raises, and we're getting bopped pretty hard here with the prices. We're now seeing a bunch of places say, you know what? We got a lot of discounts on the way. Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
What's happening?
Yeah.
What do you think happened?
Well, they've heard people's complaints, for one. It's a big one. And they're like, inflation. Record profits. Why would you have record profits during a time of inflation? It's because you're doing it. But yeah, I think that's a big part.
Well, I also think prices get to a certain level. People start to examine it. And then you start looking around and you're like, you know, if I'm going to go out and get something when it can all be delivered to me, if I'm going to go out and get something, can I get a little back in terms of customer service? Can you be nice? Can you be accommodating? I don't have to be here. And I think some of that has dropped off because you've got employees who feel like they're underpaid, so they're not often being super pleasant. I don't want to get on them, but we've got this perfect zone here right now where, and I saw a video the other day where Sebastian Maniscalco was joking about going. He's like, you know what? I didn't want to go to the Zon and order a bunch of sporting goods. So I went to a local sporting goods store. I got a bunch of stuff. He's got his arms full. And he said he's there. And he's like, hey, can I get a bag? And the guy's like, we're out of bags.
Perfect.
And he joked. He's like, it's 10:30 in the morning. What do you mean you're out of bags? You ran out a minute ago?
Yesterday.
But it's all part of it, you know?
Yeah.
It's like this circle where I think a lot of people are like, why am I spending money like this? And I kind of like it. I think we should be more discerning with our money. And, I mean, I'll tie it to, we were talking about, you know, it was last night, we were talking about a trip we made to Angel Stadium. And the baseball game itself was fine, but the baseball fan experience sucked. It was overpriced. We got a thing of popcorn for like $12. It was absolutely like weeks old. And I think the attitude from a lot of baseball clubs was, and maybe it still is, like, hey, you know, what are you going to do? You're here. Like, not be here.
Do you want to go to the game or not?
Yeah. No, I don't. Well, it was like the Red Zoner, right? Last year, where he's like, oh, where else are you going to go? Not to your stadium to watch the Reds if you're telling us you don't care about winning. I feel like there's been that attitude. Like, we can just raise the prices on everything. What are they going to do? We're not all mindless sheep. There are too many of us that are mindless sheep. We're not going to keep showing up and spending this money and getting less product and being treated poorly.
Yeah. Well, I think
hell no! True. Like in protest mode.
I think that's true. but yeah, I mean, I think it's also, you know, there are enough people that are like, wait, what is going on here? Why are you, like, I just saw your earnings report. Well, if things are so tough, what? Why are they so hot?
I saw I was going to get lunch today, and then I forgot. I don't want to eat, like, too fatty in the middle of the day. And I was going to get 3 chicken strips, fries, and a soda. And it was $10.50, which is not, that's not terrible, but it's not good. So I walked away. You're not going to get me all the time!
And then you just
Big
went,
food corp!
Then you just went somewhere else.
Go ahead, no, I'd actually made a sandwich, and it was sitting in the car. And, you know, I like old melted food
sure,
in the heat of the car in the summer. So
who doesn't?
I was like, hey, you know what? I brought the food. Let me eat it. What am I doing?
Who doesn't love those things?
A lot of people do. Number 3.
Number 3.
You send over a note, CSN eliminated from JUCO World Series on some bad calls.
Ugh.
You're very interested in this. What's going on with you?
If they won yesterday and today, I was going to be in the car to Grand Junction, Colorado tomorrow. So
oh,
I was
that's
very much
right.
following it. I was going to revisit the Bryce Harper incident from his time at the Junior College World Series. I was planning to write in column about that on Saturday if I was up there. But no, they are out. They eliminated from the Junior College World Series. They had first and second, down 3 runs in the 8th inning. Runners on first and second. Batter fouls the ball off his foot. Falls to the ground screaming in pain. Trainers come out to attend to him. They're trying to look over him, see how he's doing. In the meantime, the ball is in fair territory. They throw him out. And everybody's like, well, it's a foul ball. Umpire calls it out. The umpires get together. They're like, man, I guess it's out. And they can't review that call. They do have review. Can't review that call. It's not reviewable. So, obviously, you show the replay. Clearly hit his foot. Should have been foul. Then, in the ninth, they've run our first leadoff. Guy gets on. They're down two at this point. They were down two in the eighth, I should say. Two on. So, tying runners on base. In the ninth, get the leadoff guy on. So, the tying runner's at the plate. Ground ball to second base. He flips it to shortstop. They ruled that the shortstop missed the bag because it was a really bad throw to second. He throws the first. Runner at first out, but the guy in second is safe, so the tying runner is still at the plate. Go to review because this is reviewable, and they call him out. Now, that was the correct call. It was an unbelievable play by the shortstop to get his foot down. So they got that one right, but they could review it. The foul off the foot, they couldn't review. So some unfortunate breaks, certainly, including a bad call. Go against CSN, and they're out.
And no glamorous trip to Grand Junction, Colorado.
Nope.
Tough break. Number two.
Number two.
I think the WNBA, some of the teams are getting better. The middle of the league, closing the gap a tiny bit on the Aces and even, or more importantly, the Liberty. Last night was not it.
No.
Aces went to Minnesota. Minnesota has a pretty good team, and Asia Wilson stayed hot as a pistol. 29 points, 15 rebounds, 4 blocks. 80-66 victory. They're 4-1 now. And that was a 4.5-point spread.
You see, the Aces have struggled a little bit early in the season, obviously, with some injuries, but and just lack of focus, I think. And part of that is they're bored. They should be. They're far and away the best team. They should win the title. They should be locked down and focused in the playoffs. But it's very, very hard when you know you're going to be in the playoffs and you know that you're capable of winning the whole thing and you've already won 2 in a row. It's hard to be locked in these early season games, and we've seen that. But Minnesota had a good start to the year, so they got their attention. So that was a game that said, okay, let's go. And they went.
So 2-3 now against the spread. Are you suggesting that there's going to be some value plays in other spots where a big number's thrown out there and maybe they go through the motions and then they win? They win comfortably but don't cover spreads?
I would think there's going to be a lot of value against them this year. But I would also keep an eye on when there's a reason to play. If there, these isolated spots sometimes during the season where you're like, oh, a team has a winning streak or a team starts to get hyped or they have a player that is getting way too much attention.
Team has a rookie like Caitlin Clark or like Cam Brink or like Angel Reese.
Sure.
I would like to see, and it would be good for the WNBA, I would love to see Angel Reese come out and say, looking forward to playing Asia Wilson. Good player, but I'm here.
She knows. She knows that she's not.
Who, Reese? Yeah. She knows what? Asia Wilson's not good?
No, that she's not Asia Wilson.
No, she's not. But she's physical, and that would be my goal going in is to, I would send a message. If I were Angel Reese, because she already got sent some messages, like a chokehold, I would be ready to go every game. This first year is about me improving, setting up a little jumper, but being physical is,
I think the key is they'll talk about people that get unjustified attention. They won't talk trash about people that get warranted attention.
What's the point? You got to go after the best. Got to look to chop their heads off.
Yeah,
intimidate.
And once they do, once they're on that level, then they'll tell you. But they're not yet.
Former Oakland Raider and NFL insider Stanford Rout joins Cofield and Company now.
So, Adam, I want to talk wide receivers because we have an interesting time now. It was what last year with the quarterbacks. We were looking for extensions and long-term deals with Lamar and Justin Herbert and Joe Burrow. But now it's the receivers. Let's bring in Stanford Rout to talk about some of these contracts and the value of the big-time receivers. Stanford, how you doing, buddy?
What's going on, fellas? Happy Thursday to you.
Happy Thursday. I was just looking at some of the receivers are waiting for big paydays, and one just got one in Jalen Waddle. And listen, I'm not here to count anyone's money. He got a 3-year deal, $84 million, $76 million guaranteed. Can you build a winning franchise by paying your number two receiver big money? Obviously, he's got Tyreek Hill on the same team. Do you like that team building?
I mean, you know, from the fandom within me, I love seeing stars. I love seeing guys running up and down the field. I love seeing that fast-paced, high-octane track meet type of an offensive output. But from a methodical standpoint in a front office, yeah, I think it's going to be very difficult to be able to sustain a winning type of program just because of how you're distributing the money. And you just got to think that when they pay Tua, which obviously is going to happen, at least from the looks of things, that's going to change the complexity now within the receiving core. Because Tariq Hill has, I believe, it's 2 years left on his contract and 1 year of the guaranteed money, so to speak. So he's going to eventually be wanting a new deal where he's going to be wanting to be the highest paid over what is now A.J. Brown of the Philadelphia Eagles. So it's going to be very difficult to have a high-priced quarterback and two high-priced receivers as we see what is going on right now with the conundrum that they have out there in Cincinnati with the Bengals and T. Higgins and Ja'Marr Chase.
When we're talking about receiver deals, obviously there's some other big ones coming up. CeeDee Lamb, Justin Jefferson are going to need deals. It sounds like they're kind of playing a game of chicken. Nobody wants to go first because we know that the guy that goes after him is going to sign a bigger deal. This is strange, but this is a thing among players, right? Like, you want to be the one that signs the bigger contract. Even, like, Amon-Ra St. Brown's was $10,000 more than the previous bigger one. He's like, all right, just give me $10,000 more. Like, that's silly, but it is a thing among players, right?
I mean, as a grown man, 40 years old, it is a silly thing. But as a player, yes, it is very important because as a player, you want to know exactly that your organization respects you. And come on, guys, let's be honest. We're not talking about a relationship that you have with your loved one. We're not talking about that. In business, what is the number one way your employer, your organization shows you the level of respect that they have for you?
Paying you.
There you go. And so as a player, you want to be paid what you feel that you're worth. You want that team to show exactly how they feel about you, especially if you were not drafted in the top 10, where, you know, those are pretty much the only guys that get the big contracts coming straight out of college. You want that team to show exactly how they feel about you. And that's the only way. Now, in your relationship, your loved one can just simply love on you. They can respect you. They can cherish you and things like that. But when it comes to your employer, when it comes to a place of business, there's only one way to show how they truly feel about you, and that is dollars and cents. That is green pieces of paper. So I definitely understand it. I went through a little bit of that throughout my years with the Oakland Raiders. So as a grown man, yeah, you kind of look at it from a distance like, come on, bro. Like, is it really that big of a deal, $50 or one? $1,000 more than the next guy. But me, back in my playing days, oh yeah, I need to be slotted exactly where I feel that I am within the pantheon of the top corners in the NFL.
Most important story of the day, obviously. Did you watch the Darren Waller video?
No, I did not.
Oh.
But by you asking that question in that tone, now you got me intrigued.
I mean, he dropped a new music video today. He's very prolific. He's a great, great entertainer. Not getting a lot of great feedback on social media. I guess from a football perspective, he still hasn't told the Giants if he's playing or not. Now he's putting out, like, very, very highly produced music videos and albums. Like, as a team looking at him, like, all right, what are we doing?
I tell you just like this, guys, in that it's a different generation that we now live in. And what I mean by that is, it's a different generation because players now have platforms. Players now believe that they're more than just an athlete. They don't need to just shut up and dribble or just shut up and catch the ball. Players are going to use their platform to try to maximize as much notoriety, everything that they can while they're playing. And that's just the generation that we now live in. That's why you see everybody with a YouTube page or Instagram and always being able to get their own voice out there, whatever message that they want to portray to the media, to the world. So I'm more old school where I'm like, hey, just go ahead, focus on your craft, focus on your career, and be the best player that you can be. And then once you get maybe towards the backside, once you get done with ball, that's when you can go the route of a Tom Brady where he started promoting more of the TB12. He started being a little bit more boisterous, a little bit more demonstrative on his Instagram page his last couple years in the league. But like I said, that's my mentality. That's my mindset. But it's a different generation, fellas. And these guys are going to make sure that they maximize their notoriety in every conceivable way that they can, because you know, just like I know, as a player, everybody wants to hear what you have to say. After you retire, the intrigue on what you have to say isn't as great. It's not as high. So you want to strike while the iron's hot. So I definitely understand it. Not necessarily what I've done that back in my playing days, but I definitely understand it.
But I agree with you, and I love that players have a platform, and I love that they can express themselves, and I love that they can have other outlets and even make money in other ways and show,
feel like there's
they,
a butt coming.
Show who they are. Yes, they're practicing right now. Like, he hasn't told them if he's playing or not. Like, hey, they're out on the field practicing.
No, I understand, but these are right now what's I believe it's organized team activities,
sure.
Correct?
Yes, yes.
Are they mandatory?
No, they're voluntary.
So if your significant other does not mandate something, it's perfectly up to your prerogative on whether you want to do it or not. If your employer does not mandate something, it's up to your prerogative legally. Obviously, we all know the fine print. We all know the under the table type of mandates that coaches like to use, where it's optional, but it's really mandatory. So if it's legally optional,
I'll also
you're
tell
not
you,
doing anything yeah. wrong legally. But obviously, we all know that there's the wink, wink, under the table type of handshake that happens with players and coaches and organizations and things like that. So I'm really just playing devil's advocate. Sure. Trust me, I get it. I understand it. But that's now the generation that we live in. And the Giants cannot say that they did not have any inkling on Darren Waller being eccentric, being different with how he goes about doing things. The Giants can't say that they had no inkling at all before they traded for him.
I will also say, if you do watch it only once, because I watched it once and I thought it was just awful. And now I'm actually
watching it right now as we're on air.
You got to hear the singing. It's actually really good.
It's very Post Malone like. If Post Malone was much, much worse. But I would also say. And I liked some of Darren's earlier stuff. Like, his first album, actually, there were some decent tracks on there. This is silly. But also, now I'm like 12 listens in, and now I'm kind of liking it. Like, it was so bad at first, and now I'm like, you know what? I kind of like this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, like, listen, I get it. Because at the end of the day, most athletes want to be what? Entertainers.
Yeah.
And most entertainers, growing up, what was their first love? Probably football or basketball, or, you know, Nelly. Nelly grew up wanting to be a baseball player.
Yeah.
So that's just kind of how it goes within the mainstream of entertainment and athletes. They all want to branch over. They all wanted to do the other as they were growing up because they were intrigued by it. So trust me, I get it. I understand it. I believe that as a player, you should be able to go ahead and maximize to the best of your ability as long as it does not get in the way of the main thing being the main thing. I want to make sure that everybody hears me on that. So, you know, with Darren Waller, we all know that he's a little bit more of an outside-the-box type of thinker. We all know that. I believe the Giants had to have known that before they traded for him. And I would like to think that when things become mandatory minicamp, training camp, things like that, if he's going to go back to playing for them and things like that, I would like to believe that he's not going to miss time when it's mandatory for his side career of being an entertainer or singing his podcast or things like that.
Stanford Rout joining us on the show. You mentioned OTAs there. We got only about a minute left, but they're talking about getting rid of OTAs and starting training camp earlier. As a former player, you like this or no?
You know, giving players more time in the offseason, you know, I'm not somebody that's going to hate on that. Now, coming into training camp earlier, you got to tell me how much earlier, because training camp is already a grind. There's no doubt about that. And it's only 3 preseason games now. So are you talking about just having 2 extra weeks of training camp? And God forbid it be a team that is going off to another city and then not being their home training facility. So I think that for players, they'd want to see more literature on that. They want to know the actual parameters and things like that to be able to agree upon getting rid of the OTAs for in exchange for a longer training camp.
Stanford, great spot. turn up the music. I think if you watch it 38 times like Adam did, the music's really going to grow on you. So enjoy Darren Waller. And enjoy maybe something we can debate down the road. Enjoy the fake Kelsey Plum. The Kelsey Plum lookalike. There's already a debate over real Kelsey Plum and fake Kelsey Plum. So you can be in on that next week.
Oh, my goodness, man. You guys be good.
All right. See you later. We'll hit that in the 5 o'clock hour. There he is. Stanford Rout, former Raider, former Chief. I got a lot on this. We got a lot to build on with the Darren Waller video.
You love it.
I told you at the beginning of the show, you had sent over the link, and I was kind of running out of time before the show, and I'm like, I don't know if I'm going to grab this. And I watched like 45 seconds, and I'm like, thank God I watched this. I think it's awesome. The story has so many layers. And what does it go back to, Adam? What does it go back to? And we're going to get into this discussion of the 5 o'clock hour. I don't care about stuff like this. Yes, you do. Not Adam. You people out there, you care about stuff like this, and you kind of have to because it is connected to real football.
Now back to Cofield and Company, live from Stadium Swim at Circa Las Vegas.
Moving past the halfway point of the show, Adam Hill is here. Cabana 7, Stadium Swim, Circa Las Vegas. Adam, what's worse? What Harrison Butker said about women or what another Kansas City Chief did to, we think, his dogs?
I mean, I think the dogs, if it's true. I mean, what happened to the dogs is worse because it's an action, not words. But we don't know for sure what the details of this story are. Dogs were found abandoned with no food or water on a porch, like an enclosed porch of a property that belonged to a member of the Kansas City Chiefs. But his lawyer, and I think he just maybe joined the Chiefs. I know there were some Chiefs fans who were like, not our guy. Just like when Damon Arnett got arrested when he first got to the Chiefs. Like, no, he was a Raider. But Isaiah Bugs is a guy that, I think an Alabama guy that just became a member of the Chiefs.
Problem is the Chiefs have had something, some sort of incident, criminal or not, or allegation, just about every week, it feels like.
Yeah. But so his lawyer said, hey, not his, it wasn't his. Like, this is, you know, being misrepresented. Maybe he owned the property, it wasn't his dogs. Who knows what the actual story is. I think the only thing that matters is the dogs in this case and, you know, making sure that they, you know, get taken care of, get, you know, food and water and are okay after what they went through. But I will caution Raiders fans because I saw some of them taking shots at the Chiefs today. Be careful.
Why?
Look in your past. There's been some that are currently on the team.
Some dog incidents?
There's been a pretty big one involving somebody very prominent in the organization. So be careful.
Tuscaloosa PD report two dogs being left on the back porch of a home rented by Isaiah Bugs. Officers and animal control found a gray and white pit bull and a black Rottweiler on a screened-in back porch with no access to food or water. Dogs appeared malnourished and neglected. Residents appeared to be abandoned. Bugs said he'd moved from the house. And then, like you said, claims they're not his dogs.
Yeah. But we have action in Indiana, by the way. We're here at Stadium Swim, so we get all the games up. Caitlin Clark, I think, finally hit a shot for like the second time in her career and then immediately went after her defender and got teed up. Like, act like you've been there before. That's it.
Your agenda on this is hilarious.
Finally made a shot. Good for her. She made one.
Are the same people that you think love Caitlin Clark and drive you nuts, are they devastated today?
Probably.
Okay.
I guess they need something.
They get a break coming up, Indiana?
They're playing a lot of games.
They're 1-7 so far. A little better against the LA Sparks the other night. She had 30. They lost by 6, 88-82. And
by the way, she had the majority of those from the free throw line and then complained about the officiating. Which is awesome.
Yeah, they're right back on Saturday. They actually have back-to-back this weekend, Saturday and Sunday. Sky at home, at Liberty, and then they do get about 6 days off.
Yeah. That'll be nice. Reset a little bit. She's getting very frustrated. I mean, her last couple of press conferences have been a little rough.
How so?
She's, I mean, complaining about officiating and complaining about how hard they're defending her. Like, what did you think was going to happen? What was everybody telling you? It's a different league. It's a different level.
364-1100, 364-1100. Dropkick Murphys are in town in the fall. They're going to be playing at the Brooklyn Bowl. Tickets are on sale right now. And we've got your chance to win them. Ticketmaster.com is where you get the tickets. October show, Brooklyn Bowl, Dropkick Murphys, pair tickets. Griffin's going to hook you up. Brooklyn Bowl, October 6th. Ticketmaster.com, 364-1100, 364-1100. Caller number 7.
Live from Stadium Swim at Circa, it's Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas and ESPN Sports Reno.
Western Conference Final Game 6 coming up here at Circa Stadium Swim, up on the big screen, 143-foot screen. NHL as well. Caitlin Clark and the Indiana Fever are playing right now. You say Clark just got a T?
Yeah. Well, up here, I mean, it's, we're kind of at a weird angle here on the screen, but it, that's what it looked like.
That is a 4-point game. Indiana trails at home against the Storm. Storm 4-3, up 41-37. Fever are 1-7. Tomorrow, ESPN Las Vegas will be on the road. We do this for the weekday road tilts, some of the weekend road tilts as well. Actually, I might be wrong on that. Might be all. But I know this. Tomorrow, Aces bounce back after a win last night in Minnesota. They're going to play a 4:30 tip in Atlanta. And Raider Nation Radio will be hosting a watch party. The game will actually be on Fox Sports Las Vegas. We got it all covered. Vincenzo, big basketball guy. Your guy. Vinny Bonsignore going to be hosting the party. Husong's Cantina, Alta Rampart. Mateo was there last night. He saw how good the crowd was. Great happy hour. It goes from 3 to 6. You wear your Aces gear, you get 15% off the bill. Husong's Cantina tomorrow, 4:30 to 6:30. Vinny will be on the scene. I want to find the food specials. Let's see what the, oh, here we go. $4, $6, and $8 food specials. So $4 pints, $4 tacos. Get an order of taquitos. I like saying it that way. $6. Diablo shrimp. All right, let's do it for the Aces. And the dream, right? Atlanta's a dream. Diablo shrimp, $8. So good setup.
Great deal.
Good setup. Now, they don't, you know, they're not going to roll out the SS snack ship like they have here at Circa.
I do enjoy that.
Did I ever show you a picture of it? I think it was in the rundown last week.
Did.
It was unbelievable.
It was great.
And I'm hoping Derek Stevens, because we got a little chuckle out of him, I'm hoping he remembered. He's like banging out the day. Just
got a lot of
running all over the
on.
Building. I hope he's like, you know what? That Adam Hill had that SS snack ship. What do you call it? I'm going to rename it. No, that was yours. That was all yours. You take credit for it.
I don't think so.
So, Monday, you sent in a story after, or no, after Caitlin Clark had faced L.A. and Vegas, back-to-back Friday and Saturday, you said Rookie of the Year frontrunner, Cameron Brink.
Yeah.
Have you bet this?
No.
Why not?
No, because Caitlin Clark's going to have the best stats, and if Caitlin Clark had the 30th best stats among rookies, she'd win Rookie of the Year.
I think you're off on that, man.
I don't.
I think I. What's happening here? First of all, Rookie of the Year is not voted on by a bunch of Iowa fans. Okay, it's going to be decided the way it is traditionally decided, and that is through a lot of media narratives and then voting. And what happens in most MVP races? Yeah, you may get the dominant choice winning it, but you may, if it's an even race, you may get people looking for a reason to vote for other people.
Yeah,
and because Caitlin Clark was so overhyped, and such, I'm not going to say overhyped, because unlike everyone else, I'm not slamming the door shut on Caitlin Clark and what she is in eight games. Too small a sample. But the fact that she was so hyped, I think people are going to hold that against her and be like, well, this is what I expected. You know, Angel Reese is a nice player. Cam Brink is this. Let me vote for her. By the way, Caitlin Clark.
Cam Brink and Angel Reese are actually helping their teams win.
Is what, winning is Rookie of the Year?
Yeah.
Oh, stop. Come on, man. Rookie of the Year, now it's a part MVP award?
No, I said Caitlin Clark's winning. But I'm saying if you're going to make a case for other people,
oh, okay,
they're actually contributing
the
to their team
it.
Being better.
There was some sarcasm there.
Yeah, they're actually contributing to their teams being better. She's not.
Well, you should bet it now, right? You don't think either one of these has a shot. Now, the odds aren't as good as they were before the year. Or am I just walking down a path of no matter what, Caitlin Clark is winning Rookie of the Year.
She's going to put up huge. She has,
and she's not going to do it officially. So there's no story here.
Yeah.
Okay. Literally the only radio person in the country who can't talk Caitlin Clark.
What are you talking
about?
Just
pointless.
I can. She's what I said before the season she would be. An unbelievably inefficient player who's going to have the ball in her hands almost every possession. She's going to put up huge numbers. And some people will look at it and say, hey, great job. She put up huge numbers this year. Others will look at it very closely and say, well, she's incredibly inefficient with the ball. Turns the ball over way too many times. Probably is going to get a lot better as the season progresses because they're letting her play her way through these struggles. And people overreact to everything she does, good or bad.
How much does Cam Brink stuff away from the games and kind of before the games, her appearance, her dress, going to help her popularity, especially in L.A.?
I think it helps. I think the fact that her name is actually Cam Curry probably helps even more. People that pay attention to that part of it, knowing that she basically grew up as a sister in the Curry household, and the Curry parents are her step parents, or her godparents, and how close she is with that family. Like, I think that's helping considerably, especially crossover fans who are like, "Oh, that's a cool story," that are part of it. So, yeah, I mean, I think all of those things help. No, they no doubt help your popularity, and you know, she actually is playing well too. I mean, that certainly helps. She had a couple early struggles, and then she's been better since then. So those things help, and certainly there's more attention on what they're doing because of what they did in college and the way that they're able to promote themselves through social media and that sort of thing.
Do you think it'll turn on her at all based on her appearance? Could there be a negative backlash on the internet or with other players with the attention she's getting, the deal she's getting?
Possibly, but I mean, I don't think so. I think she seems to be doing it in a way that is more, acceptable to some other players.
L. Duncan was on with Bomani Jones, and L. Duncan was saying on the appearance thing and her popularity because of the way she's dressing at times. This will be Bomani coming in, but L went at the male haters on Cam Brink.
I tell you who I do think the biggest winner of the new WNBA popularity, and I'll be honest, Cameron Brink, that's playing for the Sparks, she's going to make a gozillion dollars. She got drafted to the absolute right team.
I've seen some of the dudes like on social media being like, oh, I thought we weren't supposed to focus on what women look like. I thought you guys just wanted to be taken serious as athletes and we're not supposed to focus on you being hot.
Can you do your angry Twitter guy pecking away at a phone or a keyboard?
I'm not after her.
Do you need?
She's ruined it.
What do you mean?
She's doing the same thing.
I think hers might be better.
I mean, the only problem is she like changed accent somewhere in the middle there. She went with like a, she was like a Southern, and then she went, I don't know what the other accent. She dropped like multiple accents in there, so I don't know who she was making fun of specifically. But, yeah, that's pretty good. It's pretty solid. I have to applaud her.
Chop it down. Give me one more time. L. Duncan on the incels who are confused as to why women can flaunt their appearance but also be badasses.
Oh, I thought we weren't supposed to focus on what women look like. I thought you guys just wanted to be taken serious as athletes and we're not supposed to focus on you being hot.
There's definitely a Maryland. There's the focus. Fayukis was in there. That was definitely a Maryland. And then there was like a Southern, like a redneck accent in there somewhere. There's multiple different changes.
I think she may have surpassed you.
Fukis. That's the Maryland, Delaware. It's very tough to listen to. Where's she from? Do you know?
I don't know.
It has to be Mid-Atlantic.
That's why you don't fire back at Elle Duncan's. Not with impressions like that.
No.
She'll get you.
She got me.
She didn't get you.
She stunned me.
She got the guys who were angry about it.
No, she got me as an impressionist.
Yours is pretty good.
Stump me.
It's also the exaggerated keyboard punching. Something like that. I don't know what the words would be, but it's something about Kaepernick and
it's true.
Some NFL boycott, something along those lines. Did you see that Breonna Stewart made an appearance on McAfee?
Oh, yeah.
Well, it's good for her.
I mean, yeah, for sure. I mean,
McAfee said he had never heard of Stewart before he saw her play the Fever this year, so.
Yeah, it's definitely not a WNBA person, but they have the season tickets because they're there in Indianapolis. So it's kind of big in their town. So, yeah, that's good. And I think he has been made aware that they had only been talking about Caitlin Clark and not actually basketball or not actually women's basketball. So I think that was a conscious decision.
Do you have to talk about the basketball?
No, you don't have to do anything.
Right.
But I think there was a, hey, look, do you care about, like, this whole push about women's basketball? Is it about basketball or is it about a person?
It's about a person, a lot of it. And right. Then the spillover will be, hopefully you watch and then you learn, like McAfee, you learn. And you then focus on Stewart and Asia Wilson and you see how they play. So anyway, you get them in and then the transition will be made, whether Caitlin Clark's good or not. What do you watch every day on McAfee? Just about?
Pretty much, yeah.
Why do they often force hockey in early in the show.
Yeah, so no, that
is
was
that a deal?
No. It's again, kind of on the same line. There was, you know, people that definitely complained. Like about, and there are people, there are Pittsburgh show. A lot of them are from Pittsburgh. You know, a couple from Northeast. There's people from everywhere, but there's definitely a, you know, guys that appreciated hockey at some point. And they were kind of made aware of, like, you've literally never talked about hockey. So it's one of the things they kind of respond. They do kind of respond to these things, and they found a way. They call it the Hockey is Cool segment, and then they bring a lot of PK Subban. Biz has been on there quite a bit, too. So another thing, like, made aware, like, hey, this is a mistake you're making, and they're trying to correct it. And they're finding a way to make it not just about hockey.
And they have a couple of fans.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know that McAfee's that interested in it yet, but.
No, but I think he enjoys the conversations. And they found people that are good talking about it, making it interesting. That's important.
I always wonder on the shows that are aired on TV how much research they get between Greeny, Cowherd, and McAfee. Because they all approach what they select for topics a bit differently.
And I think Greeny said today that they have to start talking about hockey more. Like, he was kind of made aware from going on McAfee. He's like, we need to do more hockey on Get Up. That's what he said. I don't know why. I mean, that's what he said, though.
He's thinking about it?
Yeah.
McAfee got him thinking, or he's told?
I think he got him thinking about it. Like, hey, we should do this more.
Because that show, Cowherd and Greeny, are very heavy NFL all year round, which I'm fine with.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
I think it's great. Cowherd is very heavy NBA, but it's a little different NBA than what Greeny does. I think they break down games. And for some reason, I thought about it this morning. Do people like trivia questions? Like stat trivia questions?
For some reason, people do. But
I feel like there's like a, and I'm not mocking on the guy because he just passed away, but there's like a Howie Schwab to, who's the fat bald guy who's out here all the time? Bear? What's
Bear,
his name?
Yeah, Felica?
Felica, yeah. I mean, I'm fat and bald too, so. To this new guy, Hembo, like there's a whole stat lineage and the history of ESPN where they want to make sure that's in there. Do you like that stuff?
Should I
be rolling more stats and trivia by you?
No, I don't think so. But people do respond to it for some reason, for whatever reason. Like at a bar especially. People love that.
Right. But that's like quiz night. I don't know. It's a little weird. All right.
Elle Duncan from Atlanta.
Oh, wow. Well, maybe she's getting a lot of response on Cam Brink from Marylanders. Is that what they are?
Maybe, yes.
On the way back, the Wags Hour. A little bit on Libby Dunn. A little bit on Taylor Swift and a lot on Kelsey Plum and Darren Waller.